Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Ah, Dave, if the Jags could only get the Giants on the schedule a few more times, you know, maybe that record would fatten up a little bit, then we wouldn't have a turnover at the head coaching position. Man, it's been a long time. When is the last time? Was Gus Bradley still the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars the last time you were in here?
I think he was.
I think it was just
after Thanksgiving, I think.
How was Christmas for you?
Everything was great. We went to North Carolina. Had a great time. Saw all the family.
Yeah. And North Carolina's getting it today.
Yeah, what's going on?
Huge snowstorm.
Are they
blowing
through
North Carolina?
Snowmageddon.
Missed it.
Yeah, don't we have snowmageddon every year?
Yeah,
is it like the snow, whatever the snowiest day of the year, and it's now snowmageddon.
Snowmageddon.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, well, Nashville's getting it. Like, there's whole big strip right through kind of the mid south.
For them.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I like to visit it.
I wouldn't mind, if I were home. I don't want to drive. It's bad enough trying to drive from St. Augustine to Jacksonville every day.
Yeah.
You take your life into your hands. With people,
with the sunshine,
with the sunshine, yeah. People lose their freaking minds with just the slightest bit of precipitation around here.
Oh, snow! Forget it. I wouldn't leave my house. I'm not coming.
You know, in '89, when it snowed, people remember this. Has been around for a while. It was Christmas Eve in '89.
Wow!
And there was snow fell a dusting of snow, but enough that in St. Augustine, I was working at the time. At a restaurant when I was in college on St. George's, or just off St. George's, mm-hmm. Street, a fondue place. It's only there for like no time at all. It was like 6 months, open and closed. But there was enough that it stuck to the ground that we had a snowball fight in St. Augustine, Florida, on December 24th, 1989. I'll never forget it. And I recall, now I didn't witness this, but I recall the reports that, like, they don't have rock salt, right?
Yeah.
Why would you have rock salt, right? You live in Florida. It's like when we went to Dallas for the Super Bowl, no rock salt in the state of Texas,
so
right?
Cars are driving, they're just drifting off the road.
So what people did, what apparently I think some people did, was put sand on the Bridge of Lions in lieu of rock salt. All that does is make snowy mud.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, it does not make it safer.
Not the same.
No, it's not at all the same. In fact, it made it worse, apparently. So you don't know how to deal with it. Yeah, Dallas was a trip, man.
I'm telling you.
Was that 2010?
Something like that. I wasn't there for that game. But I can tell you, if it snowed in Jacksonville, I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
I'm not leaving my house. I'm not getting on the roads with these people. The roads aren't equipped for it. The city's not ready for it. No, I will stay home.
I think we're going to be okay. We're not going to have that
the
come down. Dave, have you been following the coaching search rumor mill? The candidates that the Jags are talking to or rumored to be interested in talking to?
Yeah, I've been hearing kind of the main guys. There's been names that have been thrown out that I like the. Matt Patricia.
The
I didn't know who that was.
And then they were saying
the bearded guy with the Patriots, and I was like, oh, I know who he is.
Yes, that guy. He's your twin now.
Yeah,
that's what he is. If you just put one of those wraps around your head, you look just like him. Ian Rappaport tweeting out earlier today that the Jags met with interim coach Doug Marrone all day and late into the night yesterday, according to a source. Sounds like it went well, said Rappaport. Now, you have to take all these kind of reports with a grain of salt, because who is telling him? And the sounds like it went well part, if it's Marrone's representative, right? Well, he's going to push that narrative. If it's the Jags, if his source is like a team source, mm-hmm. right, then my feeling would be, are they trying to kind of prep the fan base and throwing a trial balloon out there? Like, how do you react to the idea that a coach who's been here for the last few years while we've been losing all these football games may take over, and in doing so you would think would highly likely retain Nathaniel Hackett as offensive coordinator? That to me is the big issue. I think Doug Marrone, from everything I hear, is a very qualified guy,
yeah.
you know, head coach. I kind of like Doug's personality, you know. I haven't spent as much time as I did around him as I did around Gus Bradley. But, Dave, could you realistically retain the guy who was the quarterback's coach for Blake Bortles, who struggled so much this year, then got elevated to offense coordinator? It's not like the offense completely turned around under him. I mean, I think that is one aspect of it that Jaguar fans would have a tough time wrapping their heads around.
You know what? if the second half of that last game had been like the first half, I think all those questions would not have been as people would have been a little bit more okay with the fact that Doug Marrone might be staying around. But
the second half happened.
Yeah, the second half happened, and it looked like just like the Jaguars of old. And so it kind of – that just threw a monkey wrench in his plans to, of a real smooth, easy transition into being named the head coach. So I think the search is just going to continue. And, yes, Hackett did change things when he got named the offensive coordinator. Gosh, but it's still – still just wasn't good enough. And do you want to go into another year with that possibility of having this same – because he was still on the staff, just like Marrone was still on the staff. Do you want to take that chance?
Right. How much continuity do you want on a team that went 3-13?
Yeah.
And won five games a year?
And the offense was the worst part of the team.
Right.
You know, so it's
– Now, let's be fair. First of all, we don't know it's going to be Doug Marrone. But if it were to be Doug Marrone – let's give him a chance to see who his staff would be. We don't know who that would be.
If it was Doug Marrone, then I have a feeling he would want to keep Nathaniel Hackett. I don't know if as the coordinator, but I would think he would want to still keep him here. But, man, like I said, you had a whole year of Blake really struggling, and then you had those final two games where you're like, oh, okay, maybe this is – so it's tough. It's tough. I think when you take the sum of the whole, that's when you're going to draw your biggest conclusion. You can't just take those two, actually just that one and a half games.
No.
And go with that.
No, and the optics are bad. And we mentioned at the end of the show yesterday, I don't have an issue with Doug Marrone being a serious candidate for the head coaching job in Jacksonville. I have an issue with if he was going to be a serious candidate for the head coaching job in Jacksonville, why wasn't he the interim for the last six games? Like, if he was a guy that you considered could be the next coach, then give him a shot when you knew it was done in 2016. Why was it just the last two? And the idea of keeping it basically intact, like just changing the head coach and maybe tweaking the staff a little bit. I mean, do they really think they're that close in the build? I get that they were close in a lot of games this year, but if they really think in the front office that they were that close after going 3-13, I don't buy it. You know, I personally don't buy it.
I'm with you.
You start to, and I understand what Dave Caldwell said after the season. I don't agree with it. You know, I don't see eye to eye with it where they said right up until the point where they were eliminated from the playoffs, they still felt that they were going to get on a roll under Gus Bradley. There was no evidence to really back that up other than hope. It was too much. There was too much hope invested in that happening. And so I think the judgment on that was flawed, and you know, it's not like heck that the day Marrone was hired, people could put two and two together and say, aha, here's a contingency plan. Even if it wasn't your purpose, your stated purpose in bringing him in here, now you've got a guy. If it does go bad, you can slide over the interim tag onto Doug Marrone and let him take over and see if he can right the ship. He's got experience, and then if he doesn't, then you move on from there. And they did miss that window to evaluate that in a bigger sample.
They should have gave him more time, just like you said, once they were eliminated, six games left. You should have given him that opportunity to see if he could really right the ship and head off into the offseason, you know, with something showing the fans that, all right, we've finally got it fixed. Maybe we'll tweak some things. But you saw we won five of the last six games, something like that. You know, four out of the last six.
Sure.
Just something to give us a little hope, but not give them two chances. Had one game that was probably the best game out of the last 4 years. I mean, even
one of the best.
Even with the Colts win, even with the Giants win, this one just felt more real because with the Colts win, they blew them out, but it really didn't start to the second half. And it was like some freak plays that were happening. This was like a beginning to end. Man, we've looked like a dominant team.
Against a team that was pretty good.
Exactly. A team that was trying to make the playoffs. And but it just, I don't know, man. That second half, gosh.
It didn't go that way,
did it? They're your Jags.
All right, we'll take a break right here. David Garrard's back with us, kicking off 2017, wrapping up our first broadcast week of the year. If you'd like to get in today, 641-1010 on the phone lines. Also on the text line, driven by Duval Ford. Officially, the question of the day is asking you which four teams you think will win in Wild Card Weekend this weekend. And we put all the matchups in there in case you forgot one or two. On Twitter and on Facebook, you can reply to that. But also give us your thoughts if Doug Marrone were to be named the head coach. How do you think you would feel about that as a Jaguar fan? Extremely happy, kind of so-so wait and see how that staff fills out, very disappointed, or anywhere in between all that range of reaction. Give us your thoughts on all those things. On Twitter, MD_1010XL, at 1010XL, Fat Tony, at David Garrard 9, and you know all the various ways you can get on the program as well. Friday's brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Jaguars today, live at Everbank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
My mom did catch me one time when I was little eating a jar of beer.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Got to check my hearing. I could have sworn that was eating out of the garbage, honestly.
My mom did catch me one time when I was little eating a jar of mayonnaise.
I don't know why. It doesn't sound like that garbage time, but before I didn't have the headset on and kind of heard it off headset, and it just, you know, and knowing how Jordan has positioned
it's pretty
herself.
Much like eating out of the garbage, though. It's a jar of mayonnaise. Who does that?
Exactly. I mean, look, a little bit of garbage on your sandwich is fine. I mean, as in a little bit of mayo, you know, just you can't have gloves.
Now, I mean, I like mayo, but I don't eat it out of the...
It's small.
Yeah. Even when I get it on my finger, you know, when you're...
You don't lick it off?
I do, but I'm mad that I did that because it's too much at one time.
Straight cholesterol. Yeah. No, you go to Publix, man, they when they make you a sub,
yeah.
they use that big knife that they cut the bread,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah.
And they use, and then they'll scoop like half a jar of mayo.
I love it then.
No.
Yes,
No. I tell them, a little bit of mayo.
No. Right? There's so much bread and meat and lettuce and tomatoes.
No. Just enough so you know it's there. And I don't need any kind of thickness to that layer of mayo.
You need a hint of
just
mayo.
Just a hint, a smidge. Just the slightest taste of mayo. And they're not paying attention at that. And they're like, da-da-da-da. And they just scoop. Because they don't care. They just slop it on there. They think they're doing you a favor. Not good. Not a fan, but what can I tell you? 641-1010 if you'd like to get on board today. This one on the text line, driven by Duval Ford. We have a chance of snow in San Antonio today, and rock salt only works down to a certain temperature, and then they do sand when it's below that temperature. Never heard of that before. So you're telling me the colder it gets, the more effective that the sand would be.
So we're in the perfect place for
rock salt. If we 30. Have a cold snap.
I'm guessing it never gets cold enough that we would want to use sand.
Never.
All I know is I remember back in 89, and there were stories about how that was not a wise choice in hindsight, using all that sand. So I don't know.
I remember parked cars in my neighborhood were getting dinged.
Yeah.
Like for that day. It was. I'd be sitting in my apartment. And I could hear it. You'd hear, like someone yelling in their car.
Because
they
couldn't control it.
They couldn't do anything about it. You just hoped your car wasn't going
to
get dinged.
When we went to the Super Bowl in Dallas, Donna Murphy was responsible. We were staying with Stephen Gribben, who used to be our golf guy, who lives in Dallas, whenever we talked PGA, back when we talked more things than the NFL. And Donna was responsible for driving myself and Marlon Jones about 5 miles an hour on the highways of Dallas. Truly 5 miles an hour. And every 50 yards, there was another car in a ditch. Because they just didn't know how to deal with it. You got to get to work, man. Now I got to shut down work for too long. All right. If you want to get in, talk about Doug Marrone possibly being the, I don't want to say he's the lead candidate, but a serious candidate for the Jaguar head coaching job. I haven't heard much buzz about Tom Coughlin since the initial reports that he was getting together last week with and the Jags do have a lot of interview requests in and interviews lined up. They've conducted some, such as Mike Smith. He's drawn interest in San Diego and perhaps elsewhere as well. So we'll see. It'll continue to play out.
Well, you know, a lot of people have an idea that it has to be an offensive minded head coach, but that doesn't really matter. It's the coordinator, it's the person that's going to be around that's teaching the offense, that's working with whichever quarterback he sees fit. Because if you look at Mike Smith in Atlanta, his defense wasn't all that great, but his offense could outscore everybody. But when your defense matters is when you get into the playoffs and you start playing other teams that have really good defenses and you can't just throw it over their head all day long. but your defense isn't stopping them at all and making it really hard on your offense, that's when it matters. Because you can go through the season, and if you have a on-fire offense, you can do that. You can make those plays. It's when you get into that, when the pressure's cooking and you're not hitting every throw like you were before, what is your defense doing for you then? So you still need to have a top-of-the-line defense out there, and I think our defense is heading in that direction. A few pieces here and there. Get some more pressure on the quarterback. But other than that, man, have somebody that's got this offense clicking.
Yeah, and that, well, have a quarterback that has the offense clicking. And whether that is Blake Bortles, it turns out to be him, or somebody else, that's the thing Mike Smith had in Atlanta. His arrival coincided with Matt Ryan's arrival in Atlanta. You know, you look at, they had it, I want to say they turned around from four wins to double digits in the first year under Mike Smith. Well, they got a guy, I think it was the third pick in the draft, was Ryan, who took over and righted the ship there. Same thing in Baltimore. They went from a four-win team to a double-digit win team when they got Flacco in. It's not just Harbaugh, who's a great coach. A
prime example is just look at the Cleveland Browns over the last 15 or 20 years, however long it's been. What has been their main issue? Not having a dominant quarterback, or really any quarterback, to man the ship and you know, grab the bull by the horn. They just have guys out there, and that's what they're getting. They're getting all these terrible seasons because they don't have anybody behind the helm.
Right, and of course, last year they had their choice if they wanted to stay up there and try to take a franchise quarterback. Yep. They didn't think, Wentz was worth it, sticking in the number two spot. There's talk they may draft Trubisky this year. I think they'll end up taking Myles Garrett again, because I don't know if I feel great. I don't know if anybody you get with the first pick in the draft, if you had your pick of any of these quarterbacks, Dave, is it that much better than taking a chance at the top of round two or round three, even if you're the Cleveland Browns? I just don't think there's that one consensus guy that everyone's convinced is that future franchise quarterback.
But, man, they need somebody.
I know they do. I know they do. But
whether it's Deshaun Watson or somebody like that.
Do you take a guy that you're like, you're I'm going to roll the dice
on? That's what everybody, everybody pretty much does.
Or do you say, I can take what I believe will be a dominant pass rusher?
You got 4 months to convince yourself that Trubisky's the guy.
Well, you could. You could try. You know,
you're a dominant pass rusher. Even if you have that kind of guy is, they can change the game, but they're not going to change every game all year long, which your quarterback can. You know,
if you pick the right one.
If you pick the right one, that's what I'm saying.
If you felt like if you, and look, even Myles Garrett is not a can't miss. There's no, very rarely is there a can't miss guy. But if you felt like there was a 95% chance that Myles Garrett would be a, you know, multi-time, double-digit sack guy and give you kind of the value you expect out of him compared to if it's a 40-60 or even 50-50, if it's a pure coin flip on a quarterback, I understand the value if you hit on the right side of that 50, but if you miss, then you get nothing. You know.
Well, I like I said, if you don't have anybody behind the center that's, you know, worth their salt, You might as well count it another lost season anyway. I think the ability of having RG3 there, if he's still there, I don't know if that's the case, but if he's going to be there, he's going to be able to help a young guy that comes in. And if you get somebody, like I said, like a Watson, kind of has the same kind of build. Now, I don't know whether or not I haven't really followed Trubisky that much. I've seen him play, you know, big guy. I don't know how athletic he is. He can throw the ball, but, you know, you're taking a chance on a guy that really hasn't flashed that much to anybody.
Trubisky's been a star for 1 year. At least with Deshaun Watson, you've got a larger body of work.
Yeah, in a lot of primetime games and in national championships.
Right.
And has the athleticism. So early on, when he's not able to just stand in the pocket and deliver all the throws because he's breaking the defense apart so well, he can use his legs, and he likes that.
Watch what happens if Clemson goes out and beats Alabama on Monday, right? And it's a similar
high-scoring
game. He will. Absolutely will.
And
They win 35-31, and Deshaun Watson has, you know, 350 combined yards and three touchdowns. He will.
But just think he can be like a Cam Newton, where you can kind of make your offense, you know, molded around him. And that means he can get out, use his legs. He can do stuff on the run. He can – he gives the defense a lot of problems, a lot more problems than I think a Trubisky will.
Let's get a phone call or two in before the break here. Dustin in Palm Valley going to lead us off this morning. Good morning, Dustin.
Hey, had a backup quarterback to come in. I believe Matt Moore's, you know, the best chance. You know, I'm a big Dolphins fan, but I love my Jags too. And also saying that the Jags all year besides the San Diego game, I believe if they would have just made the right second half adjustments, you know, because we were in every game. And I'll take it off there. And I thank you guys. Y'all do an awesome job.
All right, Dustin. I appreciate it. I mean, without going game through game, that's part of the issue that they had. I mean, you look at this game. I don't know if it's second half adjustments. We were talking about it when you came in, on the break. Like what went wrong in the second half of this game compared to the first half, where they're dominating the Indianapolis Colts. I don't know how much we've talked about this in the past. How much are you really adjusting in what is it a 12-minute window at halftime? I'm asking you, how much, like in your experience, what's the biggest adjustment you ever remember a coach coming in at halftime and making that was successful?
It's not really much in the passing game. Now, maybe defensively they're doing things. They're seeing that this hasn't been working. They have to go to more stunts or more blitzes or back off of blitzes, or there is a certain blitz that they've seen that we can get to in the second half. But offensively, the only things that they would change, maybe a little bit with pass protection. Maybe they're saying, hey, they're bringing these blitzes that we weren't expecting, so we have to change it up to protect that. And then the run game, you know, they're seeing they're aligning certain ways that we didn't see on film. So these runs will help in those situations. But other than that, it's still going out and playing ball. You know, it's now in the second half, you might see more evidence of something and say, okay, now we can get to this. Because they continue to run this on third and long. They're continuing to run this on third and medium or whatever it is. So you can adjust accordingly. But there's not a big shift in game plans. It's not, let's go back to week three and get that game plan now because that's the game plan they're actually running on. It's not like that. It's a few things here and there. But it's still just making plays. If you get into the second half, and yes, they are bringing some exotic blitzes or something like that, or running defenses you haven't seen before, well, you have to adjust accordingly. You can't just think, oh, they just ran it that one time, we're not going to see it again. Because if they have a positive play with it, you're going to keep seeing it. Because they know it works, and they know maybe you're not ready to pick it up. Until you beat them in that situation, they're going to keep running that whatever it is. And that's something that I think that we weren't doing a good job adjusting to.
David Garrard in the house. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars Today on a Friday brought to you by Bob Roberts. First Coast Roofing, if you'd like to get on board, 641-1010 on the phone line and the text line. Driven by Duval Ford. The social media question of the day, predict the four winners. Wild Card Weekend, also like to get some of your responses to the growing thought that Doug Marrone could be one of the leading candidates to be the next head coach, permanent head coach, full-time head coach, however you want to phrase it, for your Jacksonville Jaguars. You know how to get on board. It's Jaguars Today, live at EverBank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at EverBank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, wild card weekend upon us in the National Football League. This time next year. Huh? What do you think?
Man, it'd be nice.
Nah, we'll be on a bye. Kidding me?
There you go.
Kidding
I like
Dave?
It.
We'll be sitting
ready
back
for the
wondering.
Game here at home.
That's right. That's Woo! The number one seed. Which lowest seeded team surviving will come into EverBank next year and get their beat?
What's the biggest turnaround for an NFL team?
Oh, well, I remember,
Come on, Tony. This is your kind of question right here.
I mean,
the Giants?
It's got to be at least, I'd say, eight games.
I think it was the Giants back in 19.
I want to say that we're just talking about Baltimore when they got Flacco. I want to say, I may be wrong, I want to say they went from 4 wins to 12 wins in
sounds
one
right.
year.
Is that the year when they didn't score an offensive touchdown for the first 5 or 6 games of that season, 2000, and they won a Super Bowl?
No. That's the, I think, well.
No, that was Baltimore.
Oh, they didn't?
That was your Trent Dilfer at quarterback.
Yeah, that you're going, no, I'm talking about the Flacco era Ravens.
Oh, you said 2000.
They went from 5 to 11.
There you go, 5 to 11.
So I thought you were talking about 2000 when they won.
No. I wasn't going back that far.
Okay.
I don't know if that's the biggest turnaround. When the Miami Dolphins signed Chad Pennington, did they go from a one-win team to like a double-digit win team? I know they won. I want to say they won 10 the first year under Pennington. I would check the Dolphins year by year.
I asked a question, but I do not know.
I know. Now we're sitting here trying to figure out.
See, 2013 Chiefs went from 2 to 11.
That's pretty good. Hey, that's going to be a tough one to top. Right?
Let's see.
So the Jags are going to 12.
The 2008 Dolphins went from 1 to 11.
1 to 11. Okay, there you go. It. That's 10. That's the Pennington year.
Yeah.
And what does that go to show you? I mean, Pennington was
under Manning. His first or second year went 3 to 13. So 10.
So 10 seems to be the high watermark.
He didn't hurt the team. He helped the team. He put the team in the best position to get out there and score and win ball games. And I'm sure if you go back and look at that season, at the end of the game, if they had a two-minute drive, I'm almost positive he probably took them down there to win the game most of the time.
You are going to go on NFL Network today primarily to talk about Matt Moore, it sounds like, because you were in the quarterback room with him down in Miami. We had a caller just a minute ago talking about, you know, he thinks he's the best of the backup options. Well, you know, it's a short list of ones to compare it to. Is he better than Connor Cook? Well, he's certainly more experienced than Connor Cook is. And I don't know, is Osweiler the backup at this point? I think he is the backup at this point, but
if
however you want to look at it.
If you're talking about for Jacksonville, Matt Moore's under contract for another year anyway.
Oh, I thought he was talking about just for the wild card games.
No, I thought he was talking about for
Yeah, I thought it was about him coming here.
You know what? Then I totally misunderstood what he had to say. What are your thoughts
about
Matt Moore this weekend?
As the backups that are playing, I think he probably is the best backup that's out there that's playing. And so my thoughts on Matt are really good ones. He is a solid guy. He's a guy that knows the playbook. He knows the system. He knows how to work well with the guys. You know, when he's in the locker room on a practice field and then especially out there on game day, I think the things that's been hurting him is he hasn't been as consistent over the years. When he does get, you know, three or four games, he comes out pretty solid. And I think that's what happens is defenses
a four-touchdown game in his first start.
Yeah, so what you'll see is he'll come out strong. Defenses don't have very much tape on him, and they don't expect what he's got. They don't know what he's going to give them, and then he shows them. And he still plays pretty decent the next game. But then they start finding out ways to kind of beat him, kind of, you know, beat up on him a little bit. And he'll start tend to have some issues with protecting the ball. That's probably been his biggest thing is when he doesn't play well, it's because he hasn't protected the ball. Of course, most quarterbacks are like that. But I think he has a good head on his shoulders, so he doesn't fall into the tank a lot. If he did have a rough game, he will be able to bounce himself back and come out and, you know, play strong the next week. But it's just the fact that he does not have all the physical attributes. He's not big, tall, strong, super athletic. He's not a very athletic guy at all. Doesn't have a very strong arm, but can make all the plays. Can use his legs if he has to. It's just, do you want to count on him for 16 weeks? Is somebody going to take the chance to say, hey, you're our starting quarterback kind of thing? He does not come across as a guy that you want to, you know, kind of put your team on his back and say, you're the man. That's just been his one fault for not being a starting quarterback in his league.
Isn't the role of the backup quarterback in today's NFL in a league where you're hard-pressed to find 32 capable starting quarterbacks, never mind very capable backups that can carry you. Some teams are exceptions, obviously. But isn't that role just now to come in and right the ship in the short term? I mean, in that idea, because people said, you know, when people said, hey, switch to Henny this year, I didn't agree with that at all because I feel like I've seen Henny over the long term, and I don't think you can win with him long term. And so then the question would be, well, why is he on the team? Well, he's on the team because in the short term, you want a guy who's going to come in, not be overwhelmed by the moment, can understand the offense, can try to execute the plays, and maybe can put together a couple weeks of error-free football. But the likelihood is the longer you see him out there, his flaws are going to be exposed.
Exactly. That's you hit it, the nail right on the head. The longer they're out there, the more tape they get on them, the more they see where and how they can beat him, how they can fluster him, how they can frustrate those quarterbacks. When you have your franchise quarterback, if you will. They shouldn't be getting rattled. They shouldn't have those noticeable flaws. They should be able to right the ship. Even when they're struggling early on in the game, they should be able to kind of muster up enough to be able to find a way to win the game at the end. That happens with a lot of franchise quarterbacks around the league. They just find a way to win. And sometimes these backups, after a while, find ways to lose. And but I think Matt is a guy that does like to rise to the occasion. So I think with this weekend being a playoff game for him, he's like, hey, you know what? I'm on audition here. I might be able to do something where this team might be able to get some chips for me in the offseason. I know I'm under a contract, but maybe it's me staying here in Miami. Maybe they're not happy with the Tannehill's coming off of one of his best years. I think it's in his best interest as a player in this league to come out and have a great game because, I mean, like you said, there's only 32 starters. Some team might covet him enough if he can have those four touchdown game and win it, you know, give his team a chance.
You like any of the road teams this week? Let's start with that one. Miami actually handled Pittsburgh.
They did.
Very handily
yeah.
the first time. Now, it was in South Florida.
Yeah.
Ben Roethlisberger's home road splits this year have been pretty striking.
Yeah.
And certainly they're at home, and that offense is in much more of a groove than it was at the time they played them.
Well, I think it's supposed to be 18 degrees or something like that there. That's not terrible, but when you're a South Florida team like that, I mean, that's a big difference for you. The thing that they can rely on is they have Jay Ajayi, so they can feed him the ball, and Pittsburgh is not doing a good job on defense. I think they've gotten a little bit better as the season's gone on, but they did not do a very good job last time they played him. I mean, he had, what, over 200?
Yeah, over 200. They won 30-15.
You know, so I think that plays in their favor. If they can get back to that same kind of game plan and then just let Matt, you know, facilitate the ball whenever they need to, not trying to strike the ball down the field too far because that the wind, I'm sure, is going to be a difficult there, and then the temperature as well. If he can not have those turnovers, those, you know, costly turnovers, they have a really good chance. But you're playing in Pittsburgh, and, man, that Pittsburgh offense is just – it's a different animal. And when you hear reports of Ben and Bell and Antonio Brown out when they're not even supposed to, working on receiver combinations, they didn't say that they were working on play action with Bell and then throwing it to Brown. They said they were working on Bell and Brown at receiver combinations because, gosh, I mean, if they're both lined up in a tight set over there, I mean, that's two dominant guys that you got to keep your eyes on both of them. That's just not possible.
No doubt. A lot of short area quickness. I mean, good luck. You know, and that's all you need with Le'Veon Bell. You're just trying to get the ball in his hands within 5 to 10 yards from the line of scrimmage.
I'm not sure if it was the last. It wasn't the last game. It was two games ago with the Steelers. He had a run. I think it was a night game. He had a move on a safety or somebody that, I mean, he just froze the guy, and he's picked up another 5 yards before the guy even realized that he shook him at the line of scrimmage. It was just so nasty. I had to rewind it like 5 times. I mean, this guy's sudden burst, his quickness, and you talk about trying to tag him in a phone booth, you really couldn't.
Le'Veon Bell won me a lot of money this year.
I bet.
I'm very much on board with
Le'Veon Bell.
Antonio
Brown did not.
Getting it done. You know what? We'll get your thoughts on the other three playoff games as well coming up. Plus, we got some texts coming in on the text line driven by Duval Ford that we'll get to here momentarily. Coming back, though, the state in football, the Honda drive around the NFL. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, David Garrard here with you on a Friday. Brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Jaguars today live at Everbank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this state in football history, Todd. I could have sworn this happened yesterday, but my sources conflict, so perhaps it was this date in football history, January 6, 1996. Don Shula stepped down as the head coach of the Miami Dolphins after his team lost to the Buffalo Bills in the playoffs. Shula, the winningest coach in NFL history, resigned with 347 wins. Some interesting birthdays today, including Jacksonville's own Keenan McCardell. Jacksonville Jaguars' own Keenan McCardell. Anyway, happy birthday to Keenan. 47 years old today, born in 1970. Of course, a two-time Pro Bowler. 5 seasons in the top 10 in receptions in the National Football League. Caught a couple of touchdowns in the Buccaneers' Super Bowl championship victory as well. So happy birthday to Keenan McCardell. Others not nearly as noteworthy as Keenan. Born in the state in 1961, 56 years young. Howie Long, former Oakland Raider, an 8-time Pro Bowler, 2-time first-team All-Pro, a member of the All-1980s squad on the defensive line, and a Hall of Fame inductee in 2000. Born on this date in 1964, Charles Haley, 5-time Pro Bowler, also 5-time Super Bowl champion, Hall of Fame inductee in 2015. He turns 53 years old today. And Ndamukong Suh, born on this date 30 years ago in 1987. He was the second overall pick in 2010, 4-time Pro Bowler and a 3-time first-team All-Pro. And Jameis Winston, born on this date in 1994, 23 years young. He made the Pro Bowl his rookie season. He was, of course, the first overall pick in 2015. The state in football presented all week long by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry, located on Gate Parkway. If you need any kind of cosmetic work done, or you're simply in the market for a family dentist, need a teeth cleaning, whatever the case, call Dr. McCall's office, 620-9225. In the meantime, visit jamesjmccall.com for a complete list of their comprehensive care services. Happy birthday, Keenan McCardo. That is this date in football history.
Now, the drive around the NFL on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
As first reported by the Sporting News, the Indianapolis Colts will be retaining head coach Chuck Pagano for his sixth season, despite missing the playoffs in back-to-back years for the first time since 97 and 98. The Colts drafted Peyton Manning number one overall in 1998, missed the playoffs just twice in the 13 healthy years that he had there, including his rookie season. Dallas defensive end Randy Gregory has been hit with at least a one-year suspension, with some reports indicating that he could appeal that suspension, but it is for a missed drug test. At least that's what Gregory's camp is saying when he appealed it in the first place. He could appeal it still to a higher court, much in the same way that Tom Brady did, but it seems unlikely. Gregory appeared in just two games due to suspension this season for the Cowboys. Steve Smith Sr. has officially signed his retirement papers. Smith posted a picture of the letter on his Twitter page, and it read, quote, "Dear Commissioner Goodell, this is to notify you that as of today, I, Steve Smith Sr., will no longer be antagonizing defensive backs. I'm retiring from the National Football League. Sincerely," signed Steve Smith Sr. "I wouldn't expect anything less from the volatile Smith. He retires 12th all-time in receptions in NFL history, 7th all-time in receiving yards in NFL history. And Oklahoma running back Joe Mixon has declared that he will be entering the NFL draft. He is a redshirt sophomore this year, so 3 years at Oklahoma. He was suspended, according to his coach, in 2014 for the incident that was in the video that everyone saw last month where he is shown punching a woman. Again, Stoops said in 2014 he was suspended the whole year for it, and said that if it had happened this year, that he would have been dismissed from the program, given the condition with domestic violence currently in this country.
Did Stoops add because he's already declared for the draft? Why he would be...
But you could read that into it.
Right. Because if it happened now, he'd be somebody else's problem is what it would be. You knew what he did before you ever saw the video. But here's the thing, okay? We do live in the age of Ray Rice in the video, and I think we probably, most of us believe, if we hadn't seen the video inside the elevator, Ray Rice may have gotten another chance to play in the National Football League. As it is, he's unofficially blackballed.
Yeah.
He could have, right, but yep. Baltimore wouldn't have let him go. Exactly. Right. And so he wouldn't have been let go, and he would have resumed his career in the National Football League. So now you see the video of Joe Mixon. Okay. Well, last year, you had a similar circumstance without video of Tyreek Hill, right, at Oklahoma State. I believe he punched his pregnant girlfriend in the stomach.
Yes, he did.
If I'm not mistaken. Okay? I don't know how much more low you can get than that. But when you watch Tyreek Hill, is that the first thing you think of immediately when you watch a Kansas City Chiefs? Now you think, wow, this guy's an amazing playmaker. How'd they find this steal in the middle rounds of the draft? And it doesn't appear to me like the Kansas City Chiefs are getting a ton of blowback over the Tyreek Hill situation. Reports were, Dave, that many teams took Hill off their draft board completely. Do you think Tyreek Hill's situation helps Joe Mixon somehow in that they, similar circumstances minus the video, or is the video so damning? Have you seen the punch?
I have, yeah.
Video? Look, I get that it was instigated, physically instigated by the female in the situation. She put her hands on him first, but he went over the top with the retaliatory force that he used, broke her eye socket, broke her jaw, one punch, the whole nine yards. What happens with Joe Mixon in this NFL draft? Because a lot of people think he is a top five running back talent in this draft.
I think there are going to be some teams that aren't going to look at him, and there's going to be still quite a few teams that are. And I think they're willing to take the PR hit for that little moment of time, just like the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, nobody's trying to run Tyreek Hill off the team.
Right, but if you had a video of him punching the pregnant girl in the stomach, yeah, would that have been replayed over and over and over and over again? And how would that have played with the Kansas City fan base? I don't know the answer to that, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I still think there's going to be teams that are going to take a chance that, because they're going to say we can get him, you know, mid-draft or late in the draft, you know? So he's still a number one talent, a first-round talent, so they're going to take that chance, and they're going to take the chance that not everybody in the fan base is going to like it, but once he scores that first touchdown, everybody will forget.
Probably not everybody, but I know what you're saying. A lot of that goes into it. If you have success, nobody's, you know, belaboring the Tyreek Hill thing. And again,
I mean, he was just out there in a bowl game.
I understand.
And the crowd was cheering every time he scored.
Sure they were.
You know, so it's...
Now, that was prior... No, that was post-video.
Yeah. Post-video.
No, that's because I'm watching the game thinking, wow, look at all these people, all these females cheering for him that he just scored a touchdown for their team. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. I think what happened to Ray Rice is it was towards the end of his career, and that was the first time anybody had ever seen a video like that of a player striking their fiance, wife, or whatever at that time. And so it was, wow, I can't believe this has ever happened before. And he just didn't, he just never got a chance. He was, you know, blackballed or whatever you want to call it from the league.
Here are a couple of reports in the last 24 hours. Jake Trotter of ESPN said he just got off the phone with Joe Mixon. This is a report from last night. And Mixon told him he got a first-round grade from the advisory board.
Not surprised.
Okay. A little bit surprised. First-round grade seems
Electric. He really is.
But, I mean,
where does he rank among running backs? How many running backs are going to carry a first-round grade this year?
I don't know.
He's not as good as Dalvin Cook, I don't think.
Well, I don't think he's as good as Cook and Fournette, but... You know, a lot of people put McCaffrey ahead of him, Foreman ahead of him.
I wouldn't.
No?
Well, I think McCaffrey can do quite a few different things than just tote the rock.
Here's what Mike Freeman, who's now writing with Bleacher Report, said. He said, according to various NFL team sources, they insist that not a single team will draft Joe Mixon. That the PR optics of that video, that's the thing. The video.
I know. Videos change a lot, yes.
You'll never escape the image, if you're Joe Mixon, of you breaking that girl's jaw.
Yeah.
You know, and it's one thing to say, hey, here's what Tyreek Hill did, and you can, in
that's
your mind,
totally
you can say, well, did he punch her? Did he push her? What did he do?
A lot of times when you hear just domestic violence, you don't know what it really means. Did you just push her down? Did you, you know, just put your hands on her? But you don't know the severity a lot of times, or the public doesn't. You know, maybe the team, they know specifics, but the fans, the crowd, the people, we just hear domestic violence. And so that's we don't know what you did, really. So go score more touchdowns.
Right. Hey, how does this play in Tyler, who's Barrett Sally with?
He's an SEC football writer. And, that tweet I sent you is pretty disgusting, that he was encouraging people to chant at him, "He hits women." So he was encouraging that treatment and almost making fun of the situation he's involved in.
Yeah, during the bowl.
Yeah, Sally said, think about it for a second. Auburn fans were chanting, "He hits women," at Joe Mixon, and Mixon was, you know, like louder. I can't hear you.
Like pumping it up.
All
of that was just bad. Like, I don't understand any of that. But the fact that he was, like, pumping the crowd up, I don't know. It's terrible all around.
This is where the rubber hits the road, okay? Jaguars could use an explosive element in the run game. Would you want Joe Mixon at any cost in Jacksonville? If you could get him as an undrafted free agent, rookie minimum, would you want Joe Mixon here?
Me, no.
I wouldn't either. But
we're not the whole fan base. We're not everybody that's making the calls.
And,
I know.
But that's the question that you've got to ask philosophically as an organization, and how much of that is what is the reaction of my fans going to be? You have to take that into account. You are a business out there. What kind of message are you sending to your fans? You could also argue on the other side for, you know, look, he's gone through the court system. He's paid his penalty. He has expressed remorse.
Yeah. And what if he comes out and he's an advocate for domestic violence? What if he's somebody that can go to the streets? He can go to all the different forums and talk about it.
Well, he's going to do that because
– also be a player on your team and really ends up changing the whole landscape. You just never know. And so just to throw somebody away and say that you'd never have a chance to do anything ever again – I don't know. That's tough for me because I've been been a part of both situations. So, or not both situations, but I've been in a household where there has been domestic violence. So, you know, every part of me hates the fact of what he did, and you know, like I said, him pumping the crowd up, that really
right. That to me doesn't really coincide with him being this heartfelt
you
advocate.
Don't care what right. you just did.
Exactly.
That's all in the past now. I'm out here scoring touchdowns. So.
And after he scored the touchdown in this Sugar Bowl to pretty much seal the game, his teammates picked him up and were fake punching him. And they were making fun of it, too.
No,
it was just kind of a weird situation all around. Yeah, it was bad.
They were. Musburger's comments during the game were
I heard
ridiculous.
That. I was watching that and heard that part.
Yeah. It was bad look.
It was. It was all around bad.
And now he's, we'll see. We'll see where he winds up getting drafted.
He's going somewhere. Yeah, he's going somewhere.
Yeah.
We'll see.
It might not be drafted somewhere. But
he'll get an opportunity somewhere, but he's gonna have a very little leeway.
But it's not even. It doesn't really matter when you're that kind of player. It doesn't matter how much money and what spot you get picked in the draft. If you're on a team, you're gonna have the same abilities. You're gonna be the feature guy if you are as good as. Advertised it like you were in college.
Understood.
You know, so
you won't be making millions
of
dollars.
Not right away. But your first 2 or 3 years you get in and you're second in the Russian title and all that, he's going to make his money. But I just hope that he does something about bringing awareness to domestic violence. I think if he can do that and show, you know, remorse in those kind of ways, then he will not be forgiven, but people will come to appreciate.
See, I won't buy it. If you're out there pumping up the crowd, they're trying to hit women. You
know
what I mean?
I know.
He's going to go through the motions of being an advocate, and he's going to do PSAs and all you know, public service announcements for anti-domestic violence. I'm not going to believe any one of them that his heart is in that.
I'm with you.
You know, so.
But it's all about optics, just like, you know, if you go down to Miami and stand on the boat.
True
it's
story.
All about optics.
True story.
Which is crazy. If they were all on the golf course, who would say anything? If they all flew to Miami,
even if they didn't fly to
Miami,
play
golf
or anywhere, right? Even if they flew to the Bermuda and played golf, right? And they're coming back, and Maurice Jones-Drew, your former teammate, who, by the way, I don't think he's ever not defended a player in any of these type of situations. But he said, "Hey, you know what?" Back to 2007, Del Rio said, "See you guys Wednesday. Have your fun now, because when we get back to work, it's time to go to work." Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I mean, so it was like, look, if you need to go relax somewhere, go relax somewhere, right? So this is no different. It's just that, you know, you're on a boat and it was a long trip, and maybe there's some marijuana being smoked on that boat. Other than that.
But nobody knows that.
Nobody knows that.
Yeah.
It's, you know. That's what people are.
Things happen on golf courses too.
Absolutely, they happen on golf courses. So I've heard.
Optics.
Optics. It's all about the optics. Don't let the video catch you doing it. Don't let the camera.
Just don't do it.
Catch you. We will come back and shift our focus to. We got a new mock draft out today. We haven't really gotten into the whole mock draft.
Man,
thing
I love
in
mock
new
drafts.
Year. We'll talk a little bit
they
about
mean nothing.
They do mean nothing, but they're good conversation starters. Thank you very much, David.
I love mock draft 5.0 or 10.0.
Oh, the 10 point, the last one.
yeah,
or the one that comes out the morning after the draft.
I was going to say 10 will be about mid February.
Right,
that's the way it works now.
Kiper gave his all rookie team, put that out yesterday. We didn't touch on that, so we'll mention a couple of Jaguars showed up there, and you can probably. We figure out who 641-1010 if you want to be a part of the program. Mike Dempsey, David Garrard, Fat Tony here with you on Jaguars Today, live at Everbank on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
All right, a couple of little nuggets, little tidbits, little items here for you in a moment. But first, let's talk about retro fitness in the new year. 2017, is it going to be the best year ever?
I saw a TV ad.
Oh, baby. Yes, man.
They're too big for the britches.
Gosh, if you want to make 2017 your best year ever fitness-wise, then you should come on in. Right now, you can sign up for just $1 to enroll. Yep. $19.99 is our basic. $29.99 is our VIP package. We've added a few things to our VIP package. You can actually get one guest pass. If you are VIP, you can have a guest come with you anytime you want.
Nice.
As long as you're there, they can be there
so,
with you.
So like, if I came every day, I could bring a guest with me every day.
You can bring a different guest every time.
That's pretty cool.
You can also get 10% off on all items such as smoothies, pro shop items, clothing, anything that you buy within the gym, you can get 10% off as well. So a lot of great things are happening. We are actually changing quite a few things. Some of our classes we're going to be changing. We're going to be doing more group training. We're adding space to our gyms to accommodate that as well. So come on out. Come check us out. We're at Atlantic and San Pablo. We're at Bay Meadows and Southside. That's the Metro Diner Shopping Center. So we've started off pretty good. You know, January is good for the gym business, but it can be good for you all year long.
There's no doubt January is great for the gym business.
Well, it's been good for me because the holidays, they took a toll.
I hear you, brother. RetroJax.com if you want to just hop online and check out all the amenities at David Garrard's Retro Fitness locations here in Jacksonville. This tweet, Tyler passing along via Jim Bro Fisher. Okay, these were rookie grades at Pro Football Focus. Cornerbacks such as Jalen Ramsey. Yep. These are the grades, not what they received this year, but what they received in the rookie season. Patrick Peterson was a 47.2 grade. Okay, that's on the low end of the spectrum. Marcus Peters was outstanding last year, led the league in interceptions. Right, he was a 74.8.
Yeah, he got thrown out a ton.
He did get thrown out a ton, but he did make plays as well. Richard Sherman was an 84.6. Very, very solid number right there. Chris Harris, excellent cornerback, an 80.1 grade.
Yeah, I think he was the number one corner on their rating system this year.
Was he this year?
Yeah.
Okay, but as a rookie, he was an 80.1. Jason Verrett, who tore his ACL this year in San Diego, but had just, I think, one of the best, maybe top five guys.
He did really good
league
against us.
He did.
Yeah.
84.9, which was the high watermark out of the ones we just listed. Jalen Ramsey this year came in at 82.3. It's pretty good.
That's really
good. That's right there with the likes of Richard Sherman and Chris Harris and those guys.
Yeah, I mean, he proved a lot to me. You know, I love his ability on the field. I love how he talks a little junk, but he backs it up and is not afraid to hit. That is what you don't usually see out of cornerbacks. They want to go low and tackle your ankles. He will come in and
he'll thud you.
Yeah. He'll put a stick on
he'll
you.
He'll thud you up. Mel Kiper did his all-rookie team, and he put three cornerbacks on the team. I put Brian Poole on as the nickel corner, but this is what he had to say about Jalen Ramsey. He said Ramsey gets credit for immediately stepping in and becoming the Jaguars' number one cornerback, and he improved a lot as the season went on. He had two interceptions, one pick six, and 10 pass breakups. That's all? He had 9 in back-to-back weeks, right, Tony? Didn't he in those two games?
Yeah.
He had like 5 and 4 now. He didn't get his hands on a ton of ball. I remember the one he broke up going to Alshon Jeffrey to seal the Bears' victory. After that, could it be those were the only pass breakups that he had all season?
I don't think so.
I wouldn't,
feels
I
like
wouldn't
he
think
had
so
more
either.
That.
You would think he had more than that along the way, but regardless, that's what he went with. I think we all recognize Jalen Ramsey is a talent and certainly worth the pick. That
he's got
they,
14, according to
14?
Pro Football Reference.
I guess it depends on what source you go to. Anyway, he went with 10. He gave him mention as being a member of the all-rookie team. Also, defensive end. He says, I'm going to cheat a little here and go with 3 defensive ends, only 1 defensive tackle. Joey Bosa, he says, you already know about Bosa. He's a machine. DeForest Buckner. Buckner played almost 1,000 snaps for the Niners and was one of their most consistent defenders. He had 6 sacks and 73 tackles. Yannick Ngakoue of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ngakoue was a little up and down, but finished with 8 sacks and an interception. So there you go, some recognition and a very solid third-round pick. If you had said two defensive rookies on the all-rookie team, 100% of people would have voted for Ramsey and Miles Jack. No question about it. The season. Good job by Unique Ngakoue getting it done. He said you already know everything about Bosa because he selected him as his defensive rookie of the year and had a more extensive write-up about him at the top. And I appreciate he picked Dak Prescott as his offensive rookie of the year. I agree with that. I think Dak is
absolutely
more important than Ezekiel Elliott to the Cowboys' success.
Yeah, he's the one handling the ship. He's the one that's captaining everybody. And yes, Zeke is a beast. I mean, this dude is an animal, but he's not the one distributing the ball to everybody. He gets the ball, totes it, and you know what he does when he gets the ball. But to be a rookie on a team like that and know that y'all are really good and know that it's going to fall on your shoulders to take this team and did it week in and week out. Now, did he have a couple games here and there where he might not have, but he still didn't even play like a rookie in those games that weren't his best games. And then all the other games, he's playing like the number one quarterback in the league behind Tom Brady.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, he
been outstanding. Phenomenal. I mean, look, they're a four-win team last year, and it was primarily due to poor quarterback play. They had a 1,000-yard rusher, and Darren McFadden was not Ezekiel Elliott, but the run game wasn't the problem last year. There were only 7,000-yard rushers in the league last year. He was one of them. Did they improve on the ground? Certainly they did.
Oh, absolutely.
Not to the degree they did at quarterback.
And I'll tell you, with Romo, he is fantastic quarterback. But Romo's knock, first of all, he gets to the playoffs and wouldn't ever win the game. But he always had an issue with getting into some of those late games against the Giants, against the Eagles, and having that terrible pick six, having a terrible
time.
Yeah, you know, so it's like, yeah, he's going to have these, you know, great, huge, overinflated numbers. But what about that fumble, that sack fumble that was picked up in return? What about that interception that he floated over his guy's head right into the defensive back? He had those way too many times, but you didn't see that kind of play from Dak. You didn't see that at all. You saw a very solid, consistent quarterback all year long. And I think, honestly, that's why they are as good as they are right now. I mean, that dude has been phenomenal.
I'm with you. Here's some on the text line driven by Duval Ford. Have you all seen MJD lately? Tell David Garrard to send him a membership to that gym.
I have seen my man Mojo.
What I need you to do is bring me in a Retro Fitness like membership form.
Yes.
We'll see Maurice in a few weeks in Houston, and we'll pass that along to him. We're going to see you in Houston, perhaps, right?
Yes, you will.
What are you going into town for Super Bowl?
I'm not sure exactly, but I know I will be there. I'll shoot you a text.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, some secret hijinks up with David Garrard, so we'll find out at a later date. Here's a lengthy one. Bear with me. This is on Doug Marone. I wanted to get to this. He says, yeah, it would be great to keep Doug Marone until further notice. There is not a coach out there on the market that has won more games as a head coach than him by far. Well,
it's just wrong.
Tom Coughlin would be one.
Mike Smith.
Right. Mike Smith is for another one. Right. Exactly. But overlooking that, he goes on to say, or she, for that matter, he knows the system, and they don't have to change too much. I think the Jags have a better chance of going to the playoffs with Doug than bringing in a new system. Besides, Chris Ivory is the key. When he plays, the Jaguars look like a totally different team. When Chris Ivory went down, the Jags depended on Yeldon. He's not an every down back, so Blake had to put the team on his shoulders. That was too much for him. The guy played his heart out. The Jaguars are the best 3-13 team I've seen. I do believe if Chris Ivory didn't miss the first four games, the Jaguars would have a better record. They would have run the ball more, and Blake's passing would have been more efficient, and Coach Bradley would still have his job. So draft Dalvin Cook and add him to Chris Ivory. At times in this,
is that Rex Ryan?
In this text, I wasn't sure if I was being trolled or not. I really wasn't. But
the best 3-win team that he's seen, and
right, that part
Chris
made me
Ivory
think there
loved.
Was some heavy trolling going on with that. But what do you think about the idea of spending the fourth overall pick on, whether it be Dalvin Cook or Leonard Fournette? They would be the two likely candidates if you're going to draft a running back at that spot.
Well, you know, asking a former quarterback if he wants more weapons out there, absolutely. You know, I think of just what happened just last year. You have Ezekiel Elliott, and everybody's thinking, oh, why would they spend that on, you know, a running back? Yeah, he's good, but, I mean, is he that good? Well, he just showed you how good he was. Yes, do they have a really dominant offensive line? Yeah, but, man, you don't get those kind of plays from anybody else. They got other running backs on there that I didn't see making those kind of plays. Dalvin Cook, I mean, there is one play. It wasn't even a huge play, I don't think, in the last in this bowl game. But he just split two guys at the line of scrimmage so fast that I was like, how would anybody be able to get their hands on him? He is so fast, so dynamic. You get the ball in his hands anyway, and it could be a touchdown at any point in time. When you have somebody that special and you know that you're lacking somewhat in that area on your team, man, I would absolutely shoot for it.
Having a great running game with Dallas felt not only would improve their ability to consistently hang on to the ball, but it would help their defense because their defense wouldn't have to be on the field as much.
Well, and it helps your quarterback too because he doesn't feel the pressure of the world to make it. He has to make all the throws to get you down to score when you can just hand the ball off and literally watch a guy just do magic. I mean, man, that gives you a boost right there to just, you know, just – Don't lose the game because you can hand to this guy or you can screen it to him or you can throw a flare out to him and there's a potential for him to go to the house anytime. It gives you more confidence as a quarterback, as an offense, because now you're O-line. They're hungry. They want to eat for him. They want to go out and just maul guys because they know if they just get half a block on a guy, he's going to make that guy miss and make three or four guys miss, run over the last guy, and then go 60 yards for a touchdown. I mean, that's the kind of player Dalvin Cook is, and Fournette is too, but I just think Dalvin Cook just has a little bit more of that playmaking ability to just electrify the crowd. You know, that's what he has.
I'm with you. I think I'd rather have Dalvin Cook than Leonard Fournette.
Yeah.
But if it comes down to – I'm open to them taking a running back at four. So if they take Fournette and they don't take Cook, you know, I'm going to hope Fournette.
I'm not going to be mad at it.
I'm not going to be mad at it either.
He's had a few injuries. That's the only thing that I.
Well, Fournette's played in a Stone Age offense. I mean, they haven't had a quarterback. They've had a couple receivers that are guys that are going to be draftable guys. I mean, Malachi Dupree is going to be probably a second day pick, I think, when everything is said and done. He doesn't have any stats at LSU because they haven't had anything to threaten the pass game, which is why when they play the Floridas and Alabamas of the world that have a bunch of first-round talent on the defensive side of the ball, they put nine guys in the box and they shut it down. Well, I know he's got no chance in that.
I didn't hear much of Odell Beckham when he was there. You know, just because they never had guys that could throw the ball to him.
No, it's backwards. The way they play offense is backwards. And so Fournette would
put everybody in the box and take out Fournette.
Yeah, but against Alabama, he's got no chance to even get started.
All right, we'll take a time out here. We'll come back. I want to take a quick peek at Dane Brugler's latest mock draft, which came out, I think, early this morning. Got some interesting ones on the text line as well. We'll get your predictions. Tony and I gave our official predictions for who will win in wildcard weekend yesterday, and we'll check some of the responses on the question of the day on that very subject as well. With Fat Tony, with David Garrard, I'm Mike Dempsey. Jaguars Today continues on a Friday, brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
A couple of texts coming in. We're talking about Joe Mixon. Would you want him here in Jacksonville? I think it just talent-wise would be an upgrade over what they have at running back. And here's two different texts on opposite sides. One says, nothing about Mixon's actions or responses since the video release shows remorse to me. Do not touch him in or after the draft. That's one person. Another one replies, as for Mixon, I don't agree or support any man who hits a woman. However, there's a difference with a one-time thing and a history of domestic abuse. He was also being hit at the time, and he overreacted to condemn a young man who made a mistake for the rest of his life, and to think we're not going to draft this incredibly talented young man for that is wrong on so many levels. And you could feel any way you like. I'm not condemning him. I'm not condemning him to prison. Right? It's America. He has a right to live his life. That doesn't mean I have the right to, or don't have the right to not want him on the team that I support or want to spend my season ticket money on a guy who's done that. Yeah, people do make mistakes, you know, certainly. And he's paid his price legally. That doesn't mean that he just has a right to, you know, be the first overall pick in the draft or anything else for that matter. You know, it's a business, and people are going to react. For every person that reacts that way, there are going to be people that react on the other side as well. So
I'm not going to boycott whatever team decides to draft Joe Mixon. It's not like that. You're asking me if it was me and I was making the decisions, would I bring in Joe Mixon? No, I wouldn't. I know somebody is going to, and I'm not going to denigrate them for taking that chance on the guy. And hopefully it was a one-time thing, and he does learn from it, and he does become somewhat of an ambassador and learns those lessons. It's just nothing thus far has shown that he did. I don't even completely buy that he set out 2014 because of it. Like, I just don't completely buy that part of it either from Bob Stoops. So
what do you mean?
I mean, I'm not sure that he set out the entire 2014 season because of this issue. There may have been something else going on, too. I don't know.
I see.
He was a true freshman on the campus of Oklahoma. So I don't know. And so he played his redshirt freshman year and his redshirt sophomore year, and now he's going off to the NFL. And look, I do buy the fact that somebody put a first-round grade on him. It doesn't surprise me. Watching him half a dozen times this year, he is electric in the open field. He's so good as a receiver and a runner coming out of the backfield, and he's a guy that's going to wind up going in the fifth, sixth round, if there, because someone's going to be willing to take a chance like they did on Tyreek Hill, and it's working out for him.
We'll see. I'm not convinced they will take a chance on him with the video out there. I'm not saying he won't get a chance to play in the NFL. I'm just not sure somebody's going to spend a draft pick and have that discuss that be – once he gets selected for the next hour –
that's all they're going to
on the draft. That's all they're going to be talking about, because you're going to be at the point in the draft where you're drafting the backup.
His press conference.
From
that's all they'll
wherever.
Talk about. Everything.
Hey, yep. Whatever. You know, we'll find out where he goes. We got plenty more time to talk about that between now and when the NFL draft comes to pass. The Jags will be drafting Dalvin Cook in the first round. Anyway, they won't need Joe Mixon. Come on. Here is Dane Brugler with CBS NFL Draft Scout. .com's latest mock offering. We'll just go through the top several picks here. Myles Garrett to the Cleveland Browns. No shock. Mitch Trubisky, quarterback out of North Carolina, going to San Francisco. We'll see about that. DeShone Kizer going to the Bears. I think the Jags would be very, very fortunate if a couple of quarterbacks go in the top three, because I don't see the Jags taking a quarterback at the number four pick. So as many quarterbacks that can go in the top three, the better you're going to be off for it. And then he's got the Jags taking Jonathan Allen, the defensive lineman out of Alabama. Some people have him graded as the highest graded player in the draft, period, regardless of position.
He's a beast, too.
Yeah. So, look, I don't think too many, you know, they're going to be, I shouldn't say that. There's always going to be people upset no matter what pick you take. There's no universally regarded pick. Even Jalen Ramsey, I'm sure there were detractors to that selection last year. They may not be admitting it now after the rookie season that he had. Dave, Tony and I, you took Oakland, right, Tony?
Yes.
I think we both took Oakland. Who do you like, Houston, Oakland?
Man, you know, if Brock Osweiler is going to be the quarterback, then I have to go Oakland, too. I just don't think – he already plays bad when the moment's not even that big, and now that they're in the playoffs, I just think he's going to play even worse, if that's possible. So Connor Cook, I think he has a really good offensive line in front of him. He's going to be able to hand the ball off. He's going to be able to get the ball to 89, you know, and he's going to get the ball to Crabtree as well, too. So he has the weapons, although Osweiler has the weapons. But I just think the way that he plays, he's going to turn the ball over. He's going to throw a couple picks, maybe a pick six, maybe a sack fumble, you know.
That's all right. Brandon Whedon's waiting in the wings to bail him out. So that should
no, and gonna, honestly, that's why I
come
picked,
in and do the same thing.
It's why I picked Oakland. It's, yeah. I think Oakland's offensive line can still give you a chance in a game like that, and the best player on the field for either of those teams is going to be Khalil Mack.
Well, and then exactly. And I think Connor Cook knows that it's a big moment, that he's not going to try to go out there and be the man. But I think Osweiler still thinks, I've got to go out there and show everybody that I can do this. I can win this game. I can put the game on my shoulders and win it. And you really can't, you know. So I think he's going to be more of a detriment to his team than Connor Cook is. I think Connor Cook is going to be like, hey, let me just go out here, facilitate the ball a little bit. If I've got to throw it away, I'm going to throw it away, because Osweiler will get us the ball back, you know. So I think he's going to be smart that way. And I know Jack is going to express that all week long. Hey, let this guy lose the game for them, and you just hand it off. You just dump it down, throw it away. Use your legs. You're young. Use your legs, man. Run. He's going to tell him all these things to protect that ball because he knows Oswald is going to give it away to him.
All right, Seattle-Detroit, the Saturday night game.
Well, I think it's I think this is one of the better matchups if you look at it. Detroit not playing all that great going into the playoffs. I don't think they're going to find their magic, their mojo during this game. I just think Seattle's too tough for them to play there. It's too loud, too crazy. So I think Seattle's going to win this one pretty handily.
Pretty handily. I don't think it's going to be that handily, but I've got Seattle. We both picked the Seahawks. Yep. I would take Detroit plus eight all day. All day, I would. Seattle's offensive line is not good.
You know it. I know it, but for some reason, they've still been able to be a pretty dominant force all year. You know, they've had their bumps in the road here and there, but – it's the playoffs, and they just,
I understand,
for some reason, rise to the occasion until they get down to the one-yard line.
So. All right, well, we'll see. we all got the Seahawks winning that one. Pittsburgh and Miami, we talked about earlier. I think the Steelers will win that one. Right?
I do, yeah.
All right, and we agreed with that. And then Green Bay and the New York Giants. How do you see the last one going?
Definitely the best game of the weekend. You know, my childhood team makes me want to pick them. And, you know, for some reason, this just seems to be that kind of situation that Eli gets in where he's not been all that great most of the year, but gets in the playoff and just goes on a run. I don't think this is that year, though. I think this is going to be a situation where Green Bay, they've found something now. The Aaron Rodgers is playing like the Aaron Rodgers of old. Jordy Nelson is playing like Jordy Nelson. And they have a receiver in the backfield, and he's playing well too, you know. So it doesn't matter. It just seems like they've got it figured out, and it doesn't matter who they line up out there. They're going to, you know, make plays. Their defense has been playing okay. I think that's going to be the one thing that gives the Giants a chance to kind of exploit a little bit. But like I said, the Giants' offense hasn't been playing all that great, you know. And I think there's going to be a hangover from the boat trip, so. There's going to be some issues with the Giants.
Right. Someone on the text line, by the way, talking about the Houston-Oakland game. Connor Cook's last start was in the college football playoff, 38-0 loss to Alabama. Well aware of that. Okay? and unless he's playing with his same collegiate teammates from Michigan State against
exactly.
Alabama.
Sounds like a Bama fan.
I don't know what direct bearing that necessarily has on this game.
I think they're saying he's a loser, I guess.
I guess, or that he's incapable of scoring any points. He couldn't score him in college. How's he going to score him in the pros?
Well, didn't he have a touchdown last week?
Yeah, there you go.
There it is. He's already
he's ahead of the game.
It wasn't a playoff game, David.
It was a lot of run after the catch by Amari Cooper, who's demanding the ball this week. Tony,
why not?
On Twitter, what do people predict for the winners this weekend?
Here's what we got from Irish Jaguar, Oakland, Seattle, Pittsburgh, Green Bay in the four games. From Kurt, Oakland, Seattle, Pittsburgh, and the Giants. From Brian, Houston, Seattle, Miami with the upset, and Green Bay. Playoffs. Must be nice, he says. Alvaro, I want Del Rio to win. He was a good Jaguars head coach. Raiders, Lions, Steelers, Packers. And from Jarrell, Oakland, Detroit, Pittsburgh, and the New York Giants.
All right, here's some on Facebook. Home teams across the board, said David, although it wouldn't surprise him if the Giants knocked off Green Bay or Oakland was able to pull out a win against the Texans. Don't hedge your bets. You go out with the home teams across the board. By the way, I went with Green Bay. Tony went with the Giants in that last
game. The
only
one who took the Giants.
Yeah, I know. I heard.
Gareth said Raiders, Seahawks, Dolphins, and Packers. Skyler went with Pittsburgh, Detroit, Green Bay, and Houston. Lars, Raiders, Seahawks, Packers, and Steelers. Then Josh said, I'm going with Houston, Seattle, Pittsburgh, and Green Bay, predicting Green Bay, New England in the Super Bowl with Green Bay winning. And several more in similar veins there. One here, Josh said, it's funny. We were talking earlier about eating out of the garbage. He used to work at an advanced disposal place. He said a guy there would eat food straight out of the garbage, pizza, et cetera.
No. Oh, gosh.
So.
Thank you for
got
that.
Got a little Costanza in him.
That's gross.
I would agree. It's gross. But, you know. That's kind of the theme of the
day
a little bit.
Mike, to each their own.
Here's my garbage. Have at it.
There are limits.
One,
your own should have limits.
One man's trash is another man's
another man's dinner. I think is
how it goes.
I believe that's how the official saying goes. All right, DG.
At advanced disposal, at least for that guy.
Hey, he can, hey, if you can talk trash, you can work with
him. Very nice. All right, you'll be back with us next week.
Yes, sir.
All right, we'll see if your predictions came to pass. I have a feeling.
I want to see that Detroit Seattle game.
You got
too.
A Super Bowl pick?
Oh gosh. Well, let's see. Let's go New England.
Okay.
And I think I see the Packers for some reason.
Okay. New England Packers.
I really do feel like the winner of that game is going to go. I do. The Giants-Packers game. I think whoever wins it's going to represent the NFC.
For sure. You know what? I see the Dallas-Packers game being a, like, I don't know, overtime, Hail Mary, all those, like, being the probably one of the best games of the playoffs. But I wouldn't be surprised if it was Packers.
Revenge for Dez.
Who will the next head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars be?
My money is on Smitty.
Is it?
It's on Smitty. I just think he has the best overall.
Still may be him. Prior to this, you know, Ian Rappaport talking about, you know, the report and the actual result of Doug Marrone meeting with the team all day, I think Mike Smith was the consensus selection.
Yeah, well, just not going off of everybody's reports and everything, just what I would feel and think and hope and wish, I would see it being Smitty. I think he has the best, overall
combination of factors.
Yeah, I do. I just think, the way that he was able to turn Atlanta around, you know, and get them on the right track, and they're still on a good track there, I think would really – because he would bring in that same kind of defensive philosophy for our defense, so that wouldn't fall off much. But hopefully he would be able to bring somebody in offensively to kind of cultivate this offense and turn it around.
All right. Well, you know what? We may be talking about exactly who the new coach is this time next week.
Man, that'll be fun.
We'll find out.
Maybe it'll be announced while we're on the air. Breaking news.
Be great. Maybe they'll walk in and make an announcement during the show.
And he comes and sits with us.
That'd be great. Let's plan on that.
All right.
Whoever that is next week. Yeah. You hear me, TC? Clear your schedule. All right? That's wishful thinking right there.
We can have the coach in here.
All right. That's going to do it for us today. Thanks to David Garrard. Thanks to Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt and Joe Fortunato. All of you out there listening in. Midday Chalk is coming up, but we appreciate Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, for all your roofing needs. 287-7756. Re-roofs, repairs. Have any issues, you want to check things out. If you need an advocate to work with your insurance company on your behalf, Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, license number CCC056797. For Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, our Friday sponsor of Jaguars Today. For all the aforementioned, that does it for us. I'm Mike Dempsey. Thanks for tuning in on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, Mike Dempsey here for my friends at Dandy Foods. Less than 10 minutes away from lunchtime. Maybe it's quitting time for you. Whatever time it is, if it's hungry time, it's time to get your dandy on. That's right. Sandwiches, subs, the Anytime Deli line as well. Some classics that you've been eating for years and years and years. Egg salad, tuna salad, chicken salad, all the salads, but the three meat trio, roast beef carvers, you name it, they've got a little something for everybody. And they've got the new breakfast items as well. Two breakfast sliders and a two-pack for only $3. You're not going to beat breakfast on the go anywhere. Delicious, fresh, and great variety. That's part of the Dandy formula that's kept them in business for over 6 decades. The Thompson family, a bunch of locals, they started this company, and it's been going strong ever since because they deliver those quality products to you every single time. So the next time you're out and about, just look for a Circle K or a Kangaroo Express and pop in, head right to the fresh case, and pick out your favorite variety of Dandy sandwiches and subs. When you're hungry for food on the go, make yours a Dandy today.
You guys have a good day. Peace.